for the three bills. The first one is the National Land Transport Amendment Bill, and the second one will be the road National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, and then the third one will be the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill. Those are the three bills that are on the agenda. The approach will be to allow for the two, the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill and the National Land Transport Amendment Bill, will be led by Mengema from the PLA, and then the department will then confirm in responding to the proposals that were made by the department, by the provinces during their negotiating mandate, because as you remember, they were tabled last week, but we are continuing. And then we expect that both Mr. Makato and I think Mr. Similan will also come in. And then with the economic regulation transport bill, it will be Mr. Chikambi. I guess that is the approach. But having said that, honorable members, allow me to take this opportunity to formally extend a word of welcome to all of you. We also take notice of the special delegates from our provinces. You are also welcome, and also the team from the department, together with the parliamentary staff. Indeed, a special welcome to all of you, the PMG, and then the parliamentary communication team, and also our public, because this is streaming, you are greeted too. Maybe what we could do, let's allow the committee secretary to register members that are present. Over to you, committee secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members that are present, Chairperson, it's yourself, Honorable Mushodi, Honorable Khai, Honorable Protothes, and Honorable Mama Rekhane, and Honorable Lond. I see there is an Eric iPhone. I just want to confirm if it is the Honorable Lansman.
Yes, it's me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Tafeni, she not on?
No, she's not yet on.
Okay. All right. Then having said that, let's then check us that's whether there are any apologies that you received.
Chairperson, the apology that we have received is from the Deputy Minister.
Thank you. Let's note that, that apology. And then right from the beginning, and then invite Mrs. Ngema to start with the National Land Transport Bill. It's going to be a long day, honorable members. So the approach should be, let's allow the parliamentary legal team to lead, and then the department, and then allow provinces to express their support in relation to what is responded to in terms of those clauses. There will be areas where there are C-list. We will then also then put the C-list to the delegates of the province, and then with a view to take a decision on that. just want to check the readiness of Mrs. Ngema Sumelela.
Greetings, Chairperson, and members in the House, as well as the participants that are with us. Thank you.
Chairperson,
as you indicated, that we need to start with the National Land Transport Amendment Bill. The committee would recall in the previous meeting stated that the SEGLO advisor had also looked into the issues that were raised by the mandates, the negotiating mandates. I also want to preface the process and what we are going to be indicating to the committee chairperson, that the joint rule 209 and 210 does circumscribe what the committee can do in respect of this bill, because it is remitted by the president, which means it was a bill that had already gone through the legislative processing by parliament as the national legislature. And so they passed a D version of this bill. And when it came back to the National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee on Transport did consider the reservations of the president and gave effect to where they felt it was necessary by producing the F version of the bill, which is now the bill that is before this committee. And so if we look at that specific joint rule that is guiding what this committee can do, as well as the deliberations of the committee that have taken place on the reservations of the president, the reservations were restricted to Clause 7, and that is exactly what the National Assembly did, to consider how exactly is what it was in Clause 7 unconstitutional and may impede what is intended by the amendments that were proposed, so as to allow proper implementation of this legislation. So, Chairperson, in light thereof, we indicated that there are only two things that this committee can do, is to look at the F bill version, which is the bill that went to the provinces for them to give us mandate with the parameters of the proposal that they want us to look at as the select committee, being the extended arm of the National Council of Provinces. And therefore, Chairperson, we can either look into the bill that was amended by the National Assembly and therefore give a report as the Select Committee on that, alternatively reject that bill if the committee so feels that whatever has been done does not suffice to cover what the negotiating mandates are speaking to or what the president had raised in respect of the reservations that he had on the constitutionality of that specific Clause 7 provision. Chairperson, that having been explained procedurally as the way forward, I will quickly try, I don't know if I have the sharing right, the document which our content advisor had prepared in order to collate all the I have shared the document, Chairperson. I am hoping it is coming through.
It can be seen.
Okay, Chairperson. I want to see if I can, okay. Are members able to follow as I move up the document?
Yes, we can follow, Ms. Ngema.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sometimes there's technical things, they catch up with us. So, Chairperson, as I was still indicating, that from the metrics that was prepared by our support staff, the research unit and the content advisor in this instance, did put together all the mandates proposal, which we're asking this committee to look into and see if it can influence the changing of the bill. So as indicated in this one, there generally won't be any changes that we feel or are submitting as the support staff and the department, as well as the state law advisor, that they are necessary to implement beyond what the F bill is already providing. So Chairperson, I think maybe with your guidance, you may indicate whether we speak to each and everything or just broadly summarize the issues and then give the explanation that we've come up with as the team that is assisting the committee.
Who's Alice that speak to them broadly and then give a summary?
Okay, Chairperson. So that being the case, I think other issues we have pointed out, and when the department explained when they did their presentation on policy issues and other instances, it was explained. So I will jump straight into clause 7, the provision that deals with the reservations of the president, which is an amendment of section 11 of the Principal Act. And in this instance, Chairperson, the issues that were raised related to definitions, there was an indication that because that provision in terms of those contracts that must be established and the old order contracts that were in place in light of the National Land Act, we would recall that the National Land Act is a 2009 Act. So since then, there has been some improvements, changes and developments that have taken place in the sector. And I guess if one considers the background of why this amendment bill came at the time it came and was introduced in Parliament, the department was trying to keep up with all those developments. So the main point that the submissions were raising or the negotiating mandates requested that we look into, it was the issue of the definitions relating to the use of the word state-owned rail operators, other state rail operators, as well as private rail operators. I think if we look at the definitions of the Principal Act and the general definitions of those within the context of the provision, there is no point in having to define those three, because it is clear if you follow the context and the details of what is said, it is clear who is being referenced and who will be those in light of other existing legislations and the practicalities in the sector. So there is no need to define who is the state-owned rail operators are. For instance, PRASA is clear, again, as well as other rail operators. It's just an encompassing term to ensure that should there be any other or privately owned, then such will be covered within the ambit of the Act. So again, Chairperson, we felt then, as I indicated, most of these will not necessarily need any amendments. And Clause 7 and Section 11 is on the agreements and other provisions we're saying, where they raise an issue to say there's some sort of usurpation of power, disregarding what Section 155 of the Constitution provides. And this is a competency that is concurrent between the provincial legislature, as well as to a certain degree, the local government. So what we are indicating, Chairperson, is that what the provision is indicating in respect of what is left under Clause 7, which is the insertion of new Clause 8, sub 8, which will be 11.8 and 11.9 and 11.10. What those provisions have left out, Chairperson, and is to indicate the processes in dealing with the older contracts and how the involvement of the minister, in case there is no movement that is being done in respect of those contracts. So it provides some form of intervention or some form of assistance to ensure that those are kept up to date and those contracts are validly reviewed or changed in line with what the new proposals in the Act are indicating. So, Chairperson, what the proposals were indicating was that 7G, which is a provision that's bringing about the intention of these three provisions, must be removed. And if we look at their content, as I have indicated, we have found that from what the F bill is actually doing and what was removed, that sufficed to address the concerns, both that were raised by the reservations of the president and what the other submitters have picked up. And what is left there is sufficient to clarify the position, taking the matter forward.
Thank you, Ms. Ngema, while still there. I don't want to lose our members on this, on those two aspects. The first one in relation to that clause 7 and section 11. What is emerging from your discussion, from your presentation, is that there is no need for more definition in terms of state rail operator and private rail operator. I needed to check whether I want power that. Therefore, the on this part sufficiently covers the broader definition. There's no need for further definition. I just needed to make sure that we are on the same power with members, and maybe just to check if that is the case, whether in terms of procedure, should we then probably put the matter to the members, so that at least we don't lose them. Maybe just for guidance before we give over to the department on those two aspects, if I may ask from yourself.
Indeed, Chairperson, because you would recall that we did share this document timelessly.
Yes.
We were
yes.
instructed in our previous meeting, and what we were just doing now is to provide a general summary.
In that light,
I would agree with the process as you have outlined it, that rather the members guide on the input and whether the report in that regard by the committee section has been prepared, which then maybe if the members are in agreement would be just to table that report and adopt it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, but I think then if that is the case, then let's allow you then to finish, and then we put the report to the members.
Okay, Chairperson, I will go back to sharing the document again.
Yes.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Oh yes, Honorable Khai, can come in.
Okay. No, I just wanted to check as Ms. Nema is going there, taking us through the responses with regard to the negotiating mandates from provinces. She's just dealt now with section 11, clause 7. Yes. It would be good if we were to find out the position of the department with regard to that, so that we're done with that part, and then she moves to the next clause, and then so that then when it is our turn now to deliberate and decide, we may rather use the she spoke about the C list. We may just go through the C list version, and then we vote for or against those clauses, having taken into account the negotiating mandate, the response of the department, and the response of the legal advisor. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. So the proposal is let's allow her to finish, and then we give over to the to the department.
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Khai. Any contrary view?
But also let me add, because when she was explaining the procedure earlier, it is as if we're going to just adopt, but the whatever we agree on here must still go to the provinces so that the province can confer final mandates to the delegates here. Thanks, John.
Yes, thanks for that, Honorable Kai. Okay, let's check with the department on this part. Are they happy? Do they, are they in agreement? Is it Mr.
Yes, morning, Chair, and the honorable members and colleagues. Yes, Chair, we fully concur these notes we shared across as with our counterparts in Parliament. So there's nothing to add, Chair. We fully concur with the PLA. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Simelane. You can proceed, Ms. Ngema.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Honorable Khai. Chairperson, I think what I must clarify is that everything that I was speaking to right now and just about to conclude to is all under Clause 7. There is no other provision that I have related to. And I think perhaps Mr. Smelane, in respect of showing the interleague between Section 12 and Section 11, may again just come in to explain as well that there is really no intervention that is incorrectly done by the provision as it stands right now and how they are practically dealing with this matter. So, Chairperson, in light of my presentation, I'm actually basically done because in all of them, what is left with Clause 7 are the subsections 8, 9, and 10, which I've already spoken to. And as already been pointed out, in terms of what is being done by the F bill, it suffices, and we are giving the committee the assurance that the amendment is actually taking into account the concerns of the president and giving effect into correcting them in a manner that they have done. And Honorable Khai is correct in indicating that definitely even if the committee passes or adopts what is agreed to today and what is presented, it will still have to go back because there's still room for the final mandates and the voting mandates. But if there's no issue that arises out of the final mandates that will come from the provinces, then those same mandates can be used to finalize the matter and take it to the House for adoption and passing as required by the law. So, Chairperson, I think just to summarize and cover up everything, Mr. Smelane may just come in to give general understanding of what this was and what was changed and how then going forward it will be possible for implementation. I will stop there in that aspect, Chairperson, but there is really no constitutional matters that may render this process unprocedural, as well as perhaps if we were to be taken up in any way in court, that such cannot be argued to possibly pass constitutional muster. So I'll ask Mr. Smelane just to round up and give the summary into the issues that are already corrected, Chairperson, and I have pointed out. I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ngema. Mr. Smelane?
Oh, thanks a lot to the PLH and also to you, Chair, and the honorable members. Yes, I concur, Chair. I think the PLA has covered us very well, Chair. What is just left within the mandates and within the functions of the CEOs of government now between the province and the municipality, Chair, what she presented on Section 11, also 12, is issues of agreements and cooperation, intergovernmental relations between the two CEOs. To say in areas in the municipality where a municipality is not able to undertake a function, particularly on the contractual arrangements, therefore then the province may come in, but in agreement, and then they will have to form those cooperative agreements with the local CEO of government, because the cautioning that we received from the president is that jurisdictions of the municipalities, they need to be respected by the upper spheres of government. So where there are service delivery gaps and challenges, therefore the upper sphere will be coming chair with a way of working in cooperation, in cooperative agreements with the local sphere of government, so that those services can then be rendered to our people or to the public. So that's in short, Chair, that's all I can just say in summary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Similani. Honorable members, that is the responses from both the PLA, Ms. Ngema, and also affirmed by Mr. Similani, in terms of some of the proposals that were made by provinces in relation to clause 7 and section 11. So let's agree from the members, get guidance from the members whether are they in support of the position as put forward by both Ms. Ngema and also affirmed by the department that as it is, what is defined or understood as state-owned rail operators, whether do they require a listing as what will translate into a definition to on the other rail operators in the country? Do we have any privately operated rails? Since rail is defined in the Principal Act, it's quite clear. It has appeared that the ordinary dictionary meaning suffices for the comprehension and context of this word as used in alignment with already provided definitions under Section 1 of the Principal Act and the proposed new definition within the bill. Also, I think what is quite clear is the explanation that's given in relation to Section 7G, which is left in F bill version, seeks to amend the Principal Act by inserting new 8, 9, and 10. What is quite clear is that, as she reiterated, is that we need to note that contracts which is inclusive of negotiated contracts by municipalities and contracts are defined in the Principal Act. Other operators and rail services are also defined in the Principal Act. And it's quite in terms of the elaboration that they made that the recommendation that is made is not supported. So therefore, I think we are putting this report to the members to adoption. Let's get that by from members. Do we agree with the responses as explained by both the department and also the parliamentary legal advisors? I saw the hand. Let's get the hand. Honorable Fai?
Sorry, Chair. I thought you say you must vote as to whether we agree or not.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm raising my hand in support. Are we voting on that issue?
Yes, let's vote. Those provinces that are in support of this matter raise their support by a show of hand. Members can raise their trying to also try to. Just trying to see members. Those that are looks like all members are in support on this report, including myself. So therefore, can we allow the committee secretary to indicate those that are voting support?
Chair, can you explain that it's only the members of the select committee that are voting? See Honorable Rebecca.
Yes.
I see the hand of Honorable Rebecca there.
I have a challenge here with my gadget that wants to.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, Committee Secretary, can you just include myself also in the
that are
in support?
Those that provinces that are in support, it's yourself, Chairperson, Northern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, Northwest, Western Cape, and Limpopo.
What about Eastern Cape?
I vote in favor.
I'd rather do them alphabetically.
Can you do them alphabetically, Committee Secretary, to avoid confusion?
Okay, Chairperson. Honorable Dango, I don't see your hand.
I raised it and then after a while I lowered it.
It's fine, you can raise it. I will start with Free Eastern Cape, Honorable Khai. The next province is Free State, Honorable Mushodi. The next province is Gauteng, Honorable Dango. The next province is Limpopo, Honorable Mama Rehane.
And then Northern Cape.
And the next province is Northern Cape, yourself. And the next, I jumped KwaZulu-Natal. Honorable Brothers. And the next province is Northwest, Honorable Lanceman. Those are the provinces, Chair.
Thank you. Can we then go to those that are opposed? Can you lower your hands, Honorable Members? Can members lower their hands? Honorable Tim, can you lower your hands? Thank you. Those that are against the report, adoption of the report, Committee Secretary?
Chairperson, there's no rejection of the report.
Thank you. Any abstain?
Sir, can I make a correction? It's not a report, it's the clause.
Yes, the clause.
Yes.
We're still coming to the report when it is
deflated. Thank you, Honorable Kai. We are voting in support of clause seven, which is the amendment of section 11. That is what we are voting on, as correctly pointed out by the legal advisor, and also what we outlined right at the beginning. Thank you, Honorable Members. Therefore, members, there is no objection. There is no one abstaining. All provinces are in support of adopting clause 7 as correctly pointed out by the legal advisor, which is the version from the report. That we received from the bill that we received from the NA. So therefore, the clause as received is duly adopted by the committee. We'll then refer it. This clause will then on this mandate will then refer back to the province for final mandate. So therefore, members, we are going to proceed to the next. Or the second amendment bill, which in this instance will be the Road Traffic Amendment Act, the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill. Ms. Ngema?
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps on this one, as I try to find my preparations, Ms. Hari Charan from the State Law Advisor is also assisting us in this matter.
Can you repeat that, Ms. Nyaba? Who's
Ms. Raksha Hari Charan. I'm not sure if she's in the meeting, but it's the State Law Advisor dealing, assisting as well in this matter. I just wanted to check if she's ready to take it through, or I may have to take it as well, Chairperson, if she may indicate. Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to pull down the other matters from the national land so that I can put up the national road traffic. But however, if she's ready, she can quickly take through the committee. I just wanted to check if she's ready on her side or not. Otherwise, I'll go ahead.
Are you ready?
Okay, Chairperson. Let me continue, Chairperson, with the members. What I've posted out, Chairperson, because in this one, after looking at the proposed amendments from the negotiating mandate, we did meet as the department and parliament, as well as the State Law Advisor, to check into the issues that were raised, and we also prepared the same document which was speaking to all the metrics of the suggested changes, and we have given our input into them. I think in this one, the best procedure, Chairperson, is to present the amendment C list with the explanation as to what we have done and what was proposed by the submission. Again, as I indicated in this one in our previous meeting, mainly it was a technical correction changes in terms of the drafting style and preferences. So I will try per clause, Chairperson, to explain and indicate what has been changed. So I have put up the C list, the draft C list, that is proposed for the attention of the members. If we look at clause two, that is there, Chairperson, the proposed amendments from the mandate were requesting that there is basically perhaps a wrong numbering, and what clause one then in terms of what we've written there is, I mean, what clause two is changing in the C list. It amends section 3A of the Principal Act, which deals with the appointment of officers that are listed as the officers that will work within the ensuring of enforcement and implementation of the provisions of this Act. So basically there, in respect of clause two, it was correct the numbering, because in that paragraph we had put the numbers vice versa in the Roman figure. And in respect of clause six, Chairperson, Clause six of the bill is also a section that is amending section 3E, and section 3E is a provision in the Principal Act that is dealing with the suspension and cancellation of registration for the officers that are listed. Because if you start with section 3, it deals with the appointment and listing of all the sections. So what clause 2 was doing was to add the notice officers and the other officers that were not mentioned in the previous act, which are appointed at the local government level. So what this act is now doing is to cover all of them, and the numbering then is what was incorrect at the previous bill that came before this committee, and it's what the provinces picked up, and then it will be corrected when the matter goes to the CREDA private company that assists us in terms of finalizing the document. What clause six is doing was to list the appointment requirements as well as what will disqualify these officers in case these things that are mentioned in the Act are happening. One of the proposal was that we must list all the schedules, which is the schedule of the Criminal Procedure Act, listing the offenses that are committed and their seriousness. So in light of the submissions and the indications of the committee in their previous deliberations, we've exactly done that to amend clause 6. Then it will speak to getting rid of these officers if they have been found guilty of the offenses that are listed in all of these schedules of the Criminal Procedure Act. So we are giving effect to that proposal, and if the committee passes the C list, then there's going to be that amendment effected on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, the B version. And then under Clause 11, Chairperson, Clause 11 is seeking to provide various insertions if the members have the bill before them. There is quite a number of them. It's then going to bring about new sub-bit capital letter provisions after Section 5 of the existing Act. I think we do need to point out that it's never easy to do an amendment bill, because we have to ensure that what is in the principal Act is correctly captured and does not find any misconstruction and create misinterpretation. And so that is why most of these changes are actually technical, Chairperson. So what Clause 11 will be amending there, I think it was Western Cape submission, if I'm not mistaken, but it came from one of the mandates where they were saying we need to add after the manufacturers of all these things that are spoken to. But in this instance, it was a specific query relating to the manufacturing and supply of micro dots. They said we must add the suppliers as well as the operators of the fitment centers. And that is exactly what Clause 7 is doing, to give effect to the proposal that we were given by one of the mandates from the province, the specific province. In respect of Clause 17, Chairperson, Clause 17 also is amending Section 11, and Section 11 is enabling the minister to appoint the inspectors for driving centers. And what was suggested there by one of the provinces is that in order to define and curtail the power that is given, we must indicate the type of persons that must be appointed as inspectors as we amend Section 11. And therefore, when that appointment is done at the ministerial level, it must appoint suitably qualified inspectors. And what I have noted there is that, Chairperson, after then checking, we felt that clause 17 and clause 18 is similarly crafted, because clause 17, as it amends Section 11, it enables the minister, while clause 17, it enables the MEC to appoint as well the inspectorate that they may need. As we pointed out, this is a concurrent competency. So what is given effect to clause 17 must also be given effect to clause 18. As the mandate only suggested the change to 17, but we also felt consequentially that clause 18 must also be changed, so that there must be an appointment of suitably qualified persons into these appointments when it's done. And then furthermore, Chairperson, under clause 21, the mandate had also picked up that we must not only speak to the issuance of learner licenses and saying it must not be done negligently or there are two words that are used there there are two words that are used to define what must not be done as prohibited in that instance. And so one of the provinces suggested that we must insert fraudulently as well. So if there is a fraudulent conduct that is done when issuing licenses that are set out in Section 17, that also must be made a criminal offense. And that is exactly what we have effected in respect of Clause 21. And in respect of Clause 32, Chairperson, it was also a misprint, or because the provision is speaking to an existing provision, there is a word there, if you look at line 8 of page 20, learner's license is not reading as such learner's license. Instead, it's reading as license, and then there is a word and driving license. So one of the provinces picked up that in order to ensure that Section 29 of the existing Act is amended correctly, we must maintain consistency. And instead of saying such license, when we speak to learner's license, we must specify that it is a learner's license to align with the previous provision in the same Section 29. So Clause 32 is going to be amended, giving effect to that as well. And as I wind towards the end, Chairperson, of the C list, there are two more provisions. It's Clause 40, and Clause 40 of the bill is amending Section 58. What is done in Section 58 is that initially in the Principal Act, it was listing the types of emergency vehicles, whereas the bill has now proposed that there be a definition so that when dealing with the details and context of the provision, the definition of emergency vehicles set out all the vehicles that are known to be emergency vehicles. And so when you read the context within Section 58, we just make reference to emergency vehicles. But what was picked up is that sub B of that provision did not do the same. Instead, it listed those various vehicles which amount to emergency vehicles, and we were directed by one of the mandates to indicate rather we maintain consistency and refer to emergency vehicles instead of bringing back the listing again. And so that is the effect of Clause 40 proposed C list, Chairperson. It just takes out the list and will make reference to only emergency. Again, under Clause 41 is an amendment to Section 60, and Section 60 is dealing with the empowerment to allow certain drivers, when necessary, to exceed the set speed limits. And what had happened again there, if the correction was going to be done in the Principal Act without picking up this, the reading there was going to read both an A as well as N. So what is going to happen eventually is a cleanup under Clause 41. The A that is maintained in the Principal Act will come out, and then the N, which runs with the new word that starts with an alphabet, is going to remain correct, Chairperson. Hence, I said this C list and what was proposed by the mandate is generally technical changes and the correct drafting method, Chairperson. In respect of the main submission which the mandates made in respect of Section 6, Chairperson, there, it was agreed that because all that they were asking for was that we space out the provision which was speaking to the appeal process by the when in terms of this bill, there are appeals made to the minister. We felt that because it's an existing Principal Act drafted in that manner, there is really not necessary to change and just to put it into sub-paragraphs. And under Clause 93A, the transitional provisions of the existing Act, those issues that were raised are clearly clarified to say who will be dealing with what kind of matter of an appeal, whether it's a shareholding committee or it's a minister specifically, because there's been lots of other developments as well in respect of this Act, the National Road Traffic Act, and some changes that have taken place. That would be my submission and the presentation, Chairperson, on the C list and the amendments that were proposed by the provincial mandates and the metrics that was presented by the content advisor in our previous meeting. Thank you, Chairperson. I will end there.
Thank you, Ms. Ngema, for presenting the C list to the committee. Any a view from Mr. Simlan or Mr. Makato in relation to the presentation by Zingema on the C list?
Thanks, Chairperson, and morning to honorable members and other colleagues on the call. Chairperson, what the parliamentary legal advisor, Ms. Zingema, has presented is a true reflection of what we received as comments and that we subsequently factored in in the C list. So there isn't much to be said, but to confirm that indeed it captures all the proposals and insertions that were proposed, amendments that were proposed by respective provinces. And we've done that. So Chairperson, there isn't much to add, but simply say, yeah, it captures everything else that we did, and we are presenting it to the committee to look into that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Makato. Honorable members, and then I think having listened to both Ms. Ngama and Mr. Makato, I think it is only logical that we put this draft C list to members to express other support to the C list as captured in relation to clause 2, clause 6, clause 11, clause 17, clause 18, clause 21, clause 32, clause 40, and clause 41. Those that vote in support of this proposed amendment as captured in C list, can they do that by raising their hands? Committee Secretary, can you give us the report on voting? Do that alphabetically so that we avoid the confusion that we had. Over to you, Committee Secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. Those that vote in favor, Chairperson, I will start with the Eastern Cape. I see the hand of Honorable Khai. Come to Free State. I see the hand of Honorable Mushodi. Come to Gauteng. I see the hand of Honorable Dango. Come to KwaZulu-Natal. I see the hand of Honorable Bratapes. Come to Limpopo, I see the hand of Honorable Omar Khani. I just want to check in Mpumalanga here. Yeah, I saw Honorable Boshoff. Yes, I can see the hand of Honorable Boshoff. Northern Cape, I see your hand, Chairperson. And Northwest, I see the hand of Honorable Lansman. Western Cape, I see the hand of Honorable Lund.
Thank you, so can we correctly capture that all nine provinces support the proposed list as presented? Thank you, honorable members. Any objection? Can you lower our hands, those that voted in support? And members lower their hands? Let me also do likewise.
Jefferson, your hand is also still raised.
Oh, I've just done that, Honorable Lord. Anyone who's opposed to the adoption, can they do that by raising their hands? Committee Secretary?
Chairperson, I don't see any hand.
Anyone that is abstaining?
None. Abstinence.
Thank you. Honourable members, therefore, the draft C list as presented by the Parliamentary Legal Officer through Ms. Ngema and supported by Mr. Makhato from the Department of Transport is truly adopted. We will again refer this to the provinces for the final mandate. Thank you, honourable members. Therefore, we are now in a position to move to the last one, which is the economic regulation of transport bill. I think that one, I think one remembers where that we had an issue that we raised. I don't know whether it's Ms. Shamara in the meeting, just to give members feedback in relation to the concerns that were raised around the Free State before we give over to Mr. Chikambi. Is Ms. Shamara Ali on the platform, committee secretary?
Good morning, Chair.
Yes, can you just probably give feedback to the members in relation to the concerns that were raised around the failure by the province of the Free State to conduct a public hearing, but also the concerns that were raised by the members in relation to the posture of the legislature of Free State in relation to not affording Ms. Mushodi an opportunity to brief them. Just a brief outline on that, and then we'll then proceed. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, the matter is actually with the Chairperson of the Council at the moment. We have two stances on the matter, one being that we write to the Speaker directly, seek the Speaker's intervention in terms of affording our permanent delegate a chance to brief the provincial legislature on the matter and encouraging the legislature to conduct public hearings. The second option that we put forward and the one that the Chairperson is motion in favour with is to actually determine and ascertain from the provincial legislature as to what are the reasons that the permanent delegate was not afforded the chance to conduct the briefing on the bill, and why didn't they conduct public hearings. There are legal issues with regards to what and how the provincial legislature had gone about doing it. Hence, before we move any further, the Chairperson wanted to determine why the legislature actually acted the way they have done. As soon as I get a response from the Chairperson, I will update the committee accordingly, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you just speak to the legality thereof, the constitutionality around the failure to do that? Because remember that the Free State did advertise the bill on the newspapers.
Chairperson, in terms of the Free State calling, we have looked at case law and specifically the Mahali judgment, which encourages or requires the NTOP as well as the provincial legislatures to conduct public hearings or facilitate public hearings. But one of the arguments that we have heard from my colleagues in the procedural unit is that the legislature did conduct, not conduct public hearings, but they did call for inputs on the bill. In terms of Mohali, you don't need to actually call for physical public hearings. The fact that they called for adverts and the fact that they did advertise and call for inputs on the bill would suffice. But the legality and the problem that arises, the procedural irregularity that arises now is that the legislature has not used the inputs from those adverts, if they had received any, to culminate into a negotiating mandate. That could be a concern and a legal issue moving forward. Hence, we had proposed to the Chairperson, rather than finding out from the legislature what were their reasons, to encourage them to actually move forward with the briefing and for them to conduct public hearings. At this point, it is a serious concern because the constitution, as well as the mandating procedures of provinces act, requires provincial legislatures to submit negotiating mandates. So at this point, that is a legal concern. We have consulted our legal advisor on the matter. We're just waiting for outcome from the chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Ali, for that update. Members, I think the idea was just to give feedback in relation to strong views that were expressed by the members of the state committee in relation to the subject matter at hand. One, the failure by the legislature to conduct public hearing. Secondly, failure by the legislature not to allow a member of the permanent delegates to brief them. So I guess having heard that, let's then leave that in the hands of the chairperson, and then the chairperson will then be able to guide us. But we'll also then express our views in relation to the first option, because having to seek reasons as to why does not address the legal quagmire within which the Free State has put us. But I think the comfort that we have is the fact that that they did ask for public comments. So we will then definitely come back to the meeting with feedback in relation to what has to proceed. But for now, let's then give over to check us. Is there any views that members would want to express on these issues before I move over to allowing Mr. Chikambi to take over?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Bratislav.
No, Chairperson, look, I welcome the legal advice to be given, and I welcome what I perceive as your stance, but I think it's quite clear that we cannot continue with this bullet president. We have to clarify the Free State situation and get a negotiating mandate from them before we can give consideration to the bill going forward. I think that's quite clear, that if we did try to push this bill through, we could be engaging in irregular activities that could bite us in the future. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Bertazes. Honorable Khai?
Chair, I was going to say this. The same, but for me, in the form of a clarity question, what does it mean for this process now? Do we halt the process and wait for the unfolding of this other situation in Free State? So I wanted just clarity from maybe Advocate Samara Ari to advise the committee as to whether we should halt the process or we can still go ahead with the process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khai. Advocate Samara Ali.
Chair, I can only advise and the decision will be up to the committee ultimately. Chair, my concern is if we do not proceed with the bill, we could end up not moving forward with the bill, and we could end up with the bill not having been passed by the House in its totality. There is a procedural conundrum with regards to Free State, which is receiving attention at the moment. Just to say that due to time limits, we may not be able to finish this bill if the committee doesn't proceed. Even if the Free State does not submit a negotiating mandate and a final mandate, we can still proceed with that bill to the House if we have the necessary support for the bill. My concern really lies with the time frame, and if we don't move forward now, will we have sufficient time to deal with the bill at a later stage? Chair, that decision is for the committee to take. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, I want to propose from the chair that let us proceed with the current process with the bill. And then if there is any challenge, we'll deal with that. But at the same time, we'll along the way encourage the chairperson to fast track the the matter. But I think from the advocate, let's proceed. If there is any legal challenge, we will then be able to deal with the legal challenge. What is quite critical is for us to be able to get the support from the House. We might hamper ourselves, only to find that there is no legal challenge that is raised. And in that situation, we would not have executed our task. That is the proposal that I want to put on the table. Honorable Dango?
Chairperson, you've covered me by and large. We have 5 provinces. I think we should proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Dango.
Chairperson?
Yes, Mushodi?
Chairperson, I think if we can give our relevant officer opportunity to explain about the issue, but recently we are going to get the final mandate from the province.
Thank you. I think that's good. Let's Honorable Khai.
So I was going to suggest that okay, let's continue with the process, but let's get a written legal advice for the committee so that we can have something to show if there's something happens. I suggest that we get written legal advice on this aspect, because that will also help us also in future if we are in a similar situation where maybe another province doesn't participate at all in the process of lawmaking, and maybe a majority of provinces have participated, but there's one province that has decided not to participate. What will be legally this the advice that we'll be getting in those kind of situations? But I'm not saying that we must stop the process. Let's continue the process, but let's also get a written legal advice on this matter. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khai. Let's Honorable Brasila.
Chairperson.
Yes.
I wanted before Honorable Brasila, you recognize the hand of Ms. Gangen, the legal advocate on this bill.
Okay. Let's give over to Honorable Brasila, and then I'll give over to Ms. Gangen.
Chairperson, I'm happy to be legal advisor to go first, and then I'll make my input.
Okay. All right, not good. Ms. Kangen, can you help us?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to all on the platform this morning. I just wanted to jump in here, Chair, to say that I have been requested by the committee to prepare a written legal opinion, and I had indicated that opinion would be ready at our next meeting of the 29th as requested. So just in terms of constitutionality and legality, I will address those questions in my written legal opinion. And insofar as the procedural aspects go, my colleague Ms. Ali has addressed those and has undertaken to run with the procedural aspect in respect of the difficulty that the committee faces. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms.
Kangen.
Tim?
Now, Chairperson, I'm very concerned that we are sacrificing a regular process on the altar of timekeeping, or the altar of keeping to a schedule. And I believe that is flawed. Chairperson, we were told we're going to have a legal opinion next week. I do not see why we cannot consider that next week, but if the committee is considering today voting on all the clauses, then the DA is in a very, and I speak now for Honourable Borsoff and Honourable Lont, and they can speak for themselves as well, but we are very concerned that we do not wish to be involved in a process that could turn out to be irregular, and therefore if the committee is determined that they're going to go through this bill clause by clause, vote clause by clause, we will have to excuse ourselves from the meeting. I don't know what your intentions are with the bill in terms of going through clause by clause and voting in every clause. If it's just a, if it's just a consideration of the clauses or just a discussion on the clauses, then we could remain involved. But if we're going to be voting on them, then I believe that we are getting involved in what is possibly an irregular procedure, and we will have to excuse ourselves, Chairperson. So if you can just give us an idea of where you're planning to go with this, we can consider our options. But if you want to vote clause by clause, we'll have to unfortunately withdraw.
Thank you. We are going to do voting clause by clause, Honorable President. I think it's quite clear. We can't stop the process now. So what I want to propose, let's do that, that are in support, those that are in support, that we move forward, receive the presentation in terms of clause by clause, show that by their raise your hand option, honorable members. Committee Secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. Those that are in support, I see how Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai, Gauteng, Honorable Dango, Free State, Honorable Moshodi, Limpopo, Honorable Mama Rehani, and Northern Cape yourself, Chair, and Northwest, Honorable Landsman.
Thank you, Committee Secretary. Can members lower their hand? Can you lower your hand, Comrade Honorable Marhani? Thank you. Those that are against us proceeding, can they do that by a show of hands? Committee Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. I see two hands. I see the hand of Honorable Protestant KwaZulu-Natal and Honorable Lord Western Cape.
Thank you, Committee Secretary. Can members lower their hands? Honorable Lord and Honorable Bratiseth, can you lower your hands? Thank you. Those that are abstaining on the matter, thank you, remember?
I don't see any hand.
Can you give us feedback, Honorable, the Committee Secretary?
Chairperson, according to the feedback, as follows. 6 provinces are in support, and 2 provinces are not, so procedurally the matter is supported by more than 5 provinces, so it means the committee can proceed.
Thank you, Committee Secretary. Honorable Ratchet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I respect the decision of the committee, but as previously stated, we will no longer be able to participate, so I wish you well in your deliberations, and we will see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Mr. Chikambi, can you take the floor now?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I be allowed to share the screen?
Can you help, Mr. Chikambi, Committee Secretary?
Sorted, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Can you see the our response is honorable, Chairperson?
Yes, we can see them.
Okay. Thank you once more again. Good afternoon. Good morning.
I was struggling to see you.
Oh, you're struggling to see me.
Yeah.
To increase the,
I know you are very good at this gadget, Honorable Khai. Can they increase? Okay, brilliant. There they are. I hope you are comfortable now, Honorable Khai. Thank you.
Okay.
Can continue, Mr. Chikamba.
Okay. Thank you once more again, Honorable Chair. Good morning to honorable members and all that are on the platform. Thank you once more again to allow me an opportunity to present to you the Department of Transport's responses on the negotiating mandate matrix which we have received on the last week, Honorable Chair. So basically, what I'll then do is the comments which I highlighted in gold color, Honorable Chair, these ones we were dealt with on the 6th. The department managed to provide responses to on the 6th of September, and on the 20th of September, then the select committee deliberated on these comments. However, the ones which are not highlighted, Honorable Chair, those are the new comments which we received from last week's metrics, and we managed to provide responses of clarity on those ones, on areas where we are of a different view. And the ones which are highlighted in green, Honorable Chair, those are the comments which we are in support of the view that has been made by the respective provinces. So I'll then take you through the responses which requires clarity for this, for the sake of time. I won't go through the ones which I highlighted in bold, Honorable Chair. So the first one is, it was a comment which was made by Gauteng Provincial Legislature. It's regarding to the definition of access, where it makes reference to indicate that it needs then to be defined as a specific mode, Honorable Chair. Then our response to that one is that the intention of the definition stipulates it focus on infrastructure and facilities which are catalysts to movements of goods and people. Thus, the resources considered here also excludes human capital, Honorable Chair, because there was a concern to say that it then includes the resources which are stipulated under that definition includes human capital. So we then further say that should there be a need for an employee to an access seeker would be to be transferred to the access seeker, then this then will need to be embedded in the access agreement and will be arrangement between the infrastructure owner as well as the access seeker. Then the other one, the second comment was regarding to confidential of information. The definition of confidential information, where they are saying that inclusion of other categories of potential sensitive information, such as operational plans, etc. Then here we're saying the department is the view that the definition is clear, and the words business or industry covers areas such as operational plans, which may be deemed confidential. And then we take again Southern Provincial Legislature under the definition of market. Here they are saying that they need the definition then to be amplified to meet the respective modes within the transport sector. And we are then indicating that the definition currently generally covers for all modes of transport here, Honorable Chair. Hence, general definition of market is covered here. Also that the transport sector is large with different actors and sectors. It may not be possible to cover everyone in a definition. However, broad approach is appropriate here, and the amplification of the definition will then be embedded within the regulations. Then there's a clause which talks to market power, whereby Western Cape Provincial Parliament was making recommendations that the word or that appears before the word to exclude be deleted. Yes, Honorable Chair, on this one, the department has noted the comment, and we have realized that when we delete the word or that comes after the word to exclude, should that word or be deleted, then it does not read well. Therefore, we are making a proposed amendment on the very same definition, Honorable Chair, by adding the semicolons where they are underlined here under the words exclude competition and as well as where it's saying control prices. And another comment again, which under prohibited conduct, which has been made by Gauteng Department of Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they were proposing that we consolidate item A, A2 and B1. The department, Honorable Chair, on this one is of the view that the suggestion which they are making has no material effect. Therefore, there's no need to make those amendments, Honorable Chair. And I'll then take you through comments again by Gauteng Provincial Legislature under the regulatory authority, where they are indicating that we need to delete the phrase but does not include a regulatory entity in terms of this act. We are then saying also again on this one, Honorable Chair, the words are very important to clarify that the regulated entities are not regulatory authorities. Also, it is not clear why these words should then be removed from the comments which has been made on this one. Then I'll take you through clause two. It's a comment which has been made by Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature, where they are proposing adding a subsection under clause two as follows, as Roman figure one, that addition of a subsection dealing with the conflict between the Economic Regulation of Transport Act and the Competitions Act. On this one, Honorable Chair, we say in areas where there's concurrence of jurisdiction, clause 43 of the ERTB does allow for the Transport Economic Regulator as well as the Competitions Commission to can enter into a memorandum of agreement so that they can have harmonized the jurisdiction in terms of operations in the areas where they share those the respective jurisdiction. And then I'll then take you through to clause 2.2 of the comment which has been made by Gauteng Provincial Legislature, where they are recommending that we delete the word signing or initialing. On this one, Honorable Chair, the department is comfortable with the using of with the usage of these words in the respective clause, and in order for one to get a clear understanding as to the intention of those words signing or initialing, one needs to then read the entire the respective clause with clause two in its entirety. Then clause 2.4 again is Gauteng Provincial Legislature. They are indicating that there is a recommendation that instead of focusing on transport legislation, it is recommended that this provision should rather focus on facilitating the achievements of the objectives of the bill. On this one, Honorable Chair, we then say the department is the view that there is no need to accommodate the proposal as the jurisdiction of the bill is within the transport sector and is related legislation. Additionally, also we say that it is very difficult to preempt and specify matters on which the bill takes precedence. If we do not, if we do that, there is a risk to include or exclude other important areas. And then there's a comment which was made by Western Cape Provincial Parliament, where they were saying that the bill needs to also consider issues of climate change. And we are in agreement with the observation, Honorable Chair. Therefore, as you can see, as underlined here, after the word safety, we then proposing that we add climate change to be considered so that the bill can cover the areas of climate change, Honorable Chair, on this one. Then again, Gauteng Provincial Legislature under clause 3.1A. Where they were saying that the bill is making reference to the word transport industry, while as the term is consistently being used throughout the bill is transport sector. Therefore, we are in agreement, Honorable Chair, to delete the word transport industry and substitute it with sector in this regard. Again, Gauteng Provincial Legislature under clause 31A again, they are making a recommendation that we delete the phrase contributing to economic growth and development. On this one, Honorable Chair, we say that the department is of the view that the proposed amendment is suggested has no material effect. However, again, when you look at the recommendations which have been made, there isn't any rationale that has been suggested in order for us to can delete those respective phrases or the respective phrase. And again, on clause 31C, Southern Provincial Legislature, they are making a recommendation that omission of the words reliability, safety, and performance in the provision. Here, Honorable Chair, we say that the regulator will not have a safety mandate. However, decisions made by an economic regulator can have implications on safety issues. And the clause also allows the regulator to take into account safety consideration when making economic regulation regulatory decisions and should facilitate interactions with safety regulators as per clause 43, which then allows the regulator to have a memorandum of agreement in areas with its concurrent jurisdiction. So at clause 31E, again, Gauteng provincial legislature, they are making a recommendation that inclusion of a proviso to effect that transparency will be enhanced subject to the protection of confidential of information. On this one, Honorable Chair, we're saying that the protection of confidential of information is catered for in the Bill 1C clause 18, which deals with information from regulated entities. And then Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature, they are making a recommendation that clause 4 of the ART bill be amended as follows by adding the underlined phrase, Honorable Chair, which says that any market adversely affected by the decision of the regulator in terms of subsection 4 may appeal to the minister within 30 days of such a determination. Honorable Chair, on this one, we're seeing that clause 4.7 and clause 4.8 does address the issues of one who feels that they're going to be adversely affected by the decision that is made by the minister. The minister, clause 4.7 and 8 does allow for the minister to can exempt an entity that is adversely affected. And then we go to clause 410A, Gauteng Provincial Legislature. Again, they are recommending that inclusion of the proposed amendment of section 47A on the list of the regulations that the minister may make. Here, Honorable Chair, we're saying that it is not necessary to list the regulations that the minister may make at this stage. However, clause 54.2 refers that the minister must publish the proposed regulation in the Gazette for public comments for a period of at least 30 days. So we're saying that as time moves on, as the regulator will be performing its mandate, therefore you might find that the minister needs to determine specific regulations, which will then allow for the regulator to can implement what is embedded in the bill. Therefore, to list such items at this point, Honorable Chair, it's not that advisable to do so, to do likewise. And Northwest Province, provincial legislature, they are making a proposal that we amend clause 4 of the bill to be expanded to include all government employees and not limited to those listed category. Here, Honorable Chair, the department is of the view that the bill intends to establish the Transport Economic Regulator and Transport Economic Council while consolidating existing economic regulatory functions in the transport sector into a single framework and not all government employees, Honorable Chair. And then Limpopo Provincial Legislature, they are making a proposal that we change the percentage which are embedded within the ERT bill. So currently in the ERT bill, the percentage that are there is that a single operator controls more than 70% of the market content. That is under clause 42A of the ERT bill. And Limpopo Provincial Legislature, they are proposing for a 30%. However, on this one, Honorable Chair, the department, there isn't any rationale which we have received for the proposed 30% honorable chair. However, what we then did in the department is when we were considering the 70% honorable chair, we did look at the benchmarking studies where we looked at the rail systems within the UK, whereby the market concern when they are regulating is the percentage which they consider that is 60%. And when you are to look at how they are structured is that within their rail systems they also have competition which is there. But whereas when you look at what we currently have in South Africa is that there isn't much of competition within our rail space. Therefore, we then say that 70% would best suit what we currently have. And however, when one would then come again, Honorable Chair, to then say that when you look at the market control embedded within the Competitions Act, it is set at 35% to 45%, Honorable Chair, which is not in alignment with what we are currently proposing within the ERTB, which is the 70%. So the reason behind that is that the type of competition or regulation undertaken by the Competition Commission and Tribunal works best in sectors where competitive outcomes are possible and intermediate regulatory contact is sufficient and resolve anti-competitive conduct. In sectors characterized by national monopolies, such as what we currently have within the transport sector, ongoing monitoring and supervision is needed, which is outside the capacity of the Competitions Commission and Tribunal. In these sectors, ongoing economic regulation is then needed to ensure that the market is efficient. I'll pass it there for the sake of time, Honorable Chair. Then I'll take you through to clause 5 of the ERT bill. It's a comment which has been made by Gauteng provincial legislature, where they are making a recommendation that a specification that once a review reviews that a CPP agreement is not compliant with the legislative income requirements outlined in this bill, then the infrastructure owners are obliged to rectify the non-compliance when the agreement is before renewal or renegotiation. Here, Honorable Chair is saying that the important issue is for the review of access agreement to ensure that that they are not in contravention with the bill and is known, which should then be the act in that case within 1 year of determination by the minister according to Section 4. The clause's intention is not to change or interfere with the terms and conditions of the current existing access agreement. However, the concern and the specification need is not warranted since the clause here, Honorable Chair, refers exactly to the proposed recommendation which they have made, Honorable Chair. Then under clause 5.3, they are making a recommendation that we need to qualify qualification of the phrase all existing agreements to restrict its meaning to agreements that relate to rail infrastructure and rail facilities. Here they were saying that it is not clear, Honorable Chair, to say all existing agreements that also refer to the supply of stationery. Here we're then saying as the department that the subject matter is dealing with issues of access agreement, not the supply of stationery. Here we are a bit in agreement. Actually, the recommendation refers exactly to that, Honorable Chair. Then Gauteng Provincial Legislature under clause 5.3, they've made three recommendations where they are saying that we need to then consider a more practicable time frame within which these agreements should be submitted to the regulator, considering the cost of time for reviewing the alignment of these agreements in this act. And the further stipulates that public and private entities are not able to reach an agreement in effect of the access approval due to prescribed requirements processes for amending concession agreements. Your Honorable Chair, our response is that we do note the comments, and because this will then allow the regulator to know how much of the infrastructure is currently in use by existing access users and the period of each agreement, and to have a global view of existing demand or use for further infrastructure. For use of the infrastructure. and the time frame will then have to be will then be unpacked within the regulations during the process where we're going to be developing the regulations. And then clause 5.4, again, Gauteng provincial legislature, they are making a recommendation that we qualify the phrase all existing agreements to restrict the meaning to agreement that relate to rail infrastructure and rail facilities. Surely, the Honorable Chair, we do agree with the observation which has been made on this one. Therefore, we propose that the additional of the phrase that relate to rail infrastructure or facilities be added within the respective clause. Then Gauteng again under the very same clause 5.4, they are making a recommendation that explicit in the provisions of dealing with the establishment of resourcing of the regulator, that the regulator should implement stringent information security measures and requirements that all employees of the regulator receive a certain level of security clearance. Here, Honorable Chair, we then say that clause 18 and clause 16 of the ERRC Bill then deals with issues of how confidential information will be handled, Honorable Chair. Then again, once more again on the respective clause, again, clause 5.4, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they are making a recommendation that clear definition of who an infrastructure owner is in a public-private partnership setup. Here we're then responding to say that it depends on how the TPP arrangement is set. However, there will always be an infrastructure owner. For example, an investor in a TPP arrangement may be an infrastructure owner. So on this one, what you say, it depends as to who then is the infrastructure owner given the setup of the TPP arrangement. Here again, on clause 601A and B, again, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they're making a recommendation that in terms of this provision, they're subject to the prior approval of, or at the very least, consultation with the rail safety regulator, which is presumably the best position to make determinations on the decision to be made in terms of these provisions. Surely, the Honorable Chair, we then responded to say that surely when one looks at clause 8.4c, the regulator must consider whether the applicant has received other regulatory approvals that may be required by or in terms of any law or regulations, or is likely to receive such approvals before the finalization of its application. So on this one, I will share I've indicated earlier on again to say that clause 43, the regulator needs to then liaise with respective with other regulatory authorities which they share where there are areas of concurrence of jurisdiction. Similarly to, like, for instance, when we're dealing with issues of safety in the transport sector, we have the rail safety regulator, your South African Maritime Services, SAMSA, and you've got Civil Aviation Authority, et cetera, on our budget. So clause 43 does allow the regulator to formalize the relations with the memorandum of agreement. Then I'll then take you through to clause 7.2. Again, it's Gauteng Provincial Legislature. They are saying they are recommending that a clarification of whether the regulator must approve the terms of an access agreement. Then they further stipulate that if yes, prescription of the approval process and consideration that will inform a decision of the regulator. On this one, Honorable Chair, we say that the prescriptions is listed under clause 8 of the ERT Bill. Then clause 8.4, a recommendation by Gauteng Provincial Legislature that explicit requirement for the involvement of RSR in the decision-making process. Again, Honorable Chair, this is similar to what I have responded above to saying that the regulator will consider that an applicant has received other regulatory approvals. And again, in order to strengthen the relationship between the regulator and other regulatory authorities, there is a need for one to then have the regulator to have a memorandum of understanding according to clause 43. Then Western Cape Provincial Parliament, they made a recommendation that this is recommended that the term access applicant be changed to access seeker. the observation Honorable Chair is correct, and we do agree to substitute the word applicant to CETA on this one, Honorable Chair. Then clause 8.6 of the ERC Bill, Western Cape Provincial Parliament, they are making a recommendation that we consider adding how much of infrastructure is currently used by existing access users in the period of each agreement. We say that clause 8.4 deals with the proposed recommendation of this one, Honorable Chair. And then again on clause 8.7, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they're making a recommendation that we need to reassignment of the unused capacity should be in consultation with the owner. On this one, Honorable Chair, we're then saying that the comment is noted and clause 8.5 and 8.6 forms part of the consultation process stipulated in the proposed recommendation here, Honorable Chair. And also clause 4.6 applies on any other applicable district. Then clause 9.1, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they are making a recommendation that approval should be subject to any prevailing interim capacity condition as induced by maintenance or expansion projects. Here the department is of the view that clause 9.1 is well captured and caters for the response or for the comment which was made under clause 8.7 as well, on another project. Then on clause 9.2, recommendation of this provision which makes reference to its potential unintended consequences. We then say that Honorable Chair, the intention of clause 90 is to grant access approval provided that the access seeker is going to invest for the infrastructure which is required. In this case, it might be the investment might be for an expansion or for the infrastructure that is currently not in use. And then I'll then take you through this clause 9.2 again. There's a comment which has been made by Western Cape Provincial Parliament. They are making a recommendation that the comma that appears before the words to fund be deleted. Honorable Chair, we are in agreement with the word deleting the comma there, Honorable Chair. Clause 9.4, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they are making recommendations that alignment of section 9.2 to this provision. On this one, Honorable Chair, we then say clause 9.4 does qualify for the granting of access approval stipulated under this clause. And therefore, the proposed recommendation is catered for on this one, Honorable Chair. Then on clause 9.5, the Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they're making a recommendation the inclusion of explicit requirements to effect that the period specified in the access approval must be reasonable, taking into account technical, economic, and operational assessment required to reasonably determine mutual benefits, the beneficial and sustainable access steps. This one, Honorable Chair, we then indicating that the measures listed by the recommendation are issues to be considered by the infrastructure owner and access seeker when entering into an access agreement. So clause 9.5 as it stands then allows for the access seeker and the infrastructure owner to agree upon those periods on our budget. Then clause 10, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they're making a recommendation that we include a provision to effect that an access seeker may not derive economic gain from civil transfer of assigning the access granted. And if the access was granted based on broad-based economic empowerment consideration, the third party to whom access is ceded to or transferred has the same EE rating as the access seeker. Honorable Chair, we have the view that as it stands, Clause 10 does address the issue which is alluded to, Honorable Chair. We're saying that it does indicate that all obligations remain fulfilled, and this must be considered by the infrastructure owner and access seeker when dealing with the access agreement. For example, the BE rating cannot stay the same forever since transfer decision, Honorable Chair. So having the sentence in the bill is too risky and at this point, not necessary on the opportunity. Then clause 11 is a comment which has been made by SNK provincial legislature. They're proposing that clause 11 be amended as follows, that an entity that is dissatisfied with the decision of the regulator in respect of price control may appeal to the council. On this one, Honorable Chair, the proposed amendment is catered for by clause 22 of the ERTV. Then clause 11-2, Western Cape Provincial Parliament, they're recommending that clauses relating to the limits on revenue and utilization on the terms be deleted, alternatively that they be revised or remove these limits. On this one, Honorable Chair, we have the view that when one is to conduct a business, the sole purpose is to maximize revenue. However, given the monopolistic nature of the entity that will be conducting business or rendering services to the public, Honorable Chair, there is a potential of abusing its power and its Honorable Chair. And furthermore, it is likely to play a substantial role in raising perceptions of the riskiness of the investment in South African transport sector, which is likely to have a positive impact on our sovereign risk rating as well. And academic theory, Honorable Chair, on this one does suggest that the central rationale for the rise of the number of independent regulatory agencies in a wide range of sectors has been difficult that government faces in convincing investors that it has committed to given policy decisions. This commitment problem has substantial practical implications. If investors believe that government may change its mind about an important variables such as how profitable private operations are allowed to be, whether competition will be allowed in certain activities, or it can become much more risky to make investment decisions in a given market. So, Honorable Chair, we further justify as to why we then need to have those limits on revenue. But particularly, it's meant on those entities which are monopolies. And then under clause 11.3, read with clause 11.8, it's a comment just been made by Gauteng Provincial Legislature where they're making a recommendation that we need to amend section 11, clause 11.8, to instead provide for approval of each entity's price control policies as opposed to approval of each price for proposal. Yeah, Honorable Chair, you saying that determination of price control are the powers for the regulator, and the role of the regulator is to determine price control and not to determine price control policies as the comments made by the Gauteng Provincial Legislature. And then I'll then take you through to clause 11.5. It's Gauteng again Provincial Legislature. They are making a recommendation that the specification of the nature of the consultation envisaged in this provision, including consideration by the regulator of the impact that price control would have on a party providing a subsidy and its other service delivery operations. Here, the details of how the nature of consultation will take place and consideration of subsidized transport operations will be then embedded within the regulations on our budget. And Western Cape Provincial Parliament made a recommendation on clause 11-10, where they're saying the comma that appears before the M-dash should be deleted. We are in agreement, Honorable Chair, to delete the comma that appears before the M-dash in this regard. Then, Honorable Chair, on this one, which I have highlighted in red, it was a comment which was made by Western Cape Provincial Parliament. They were proposing that the comma that appears after the word entity should be changed to a semicolon. And Honorable Chair, on this one, this was addressed during the PCOT process. It was one of the comments which they have made during the PCOT process, and it was addressed, Honorable Chair. Then Western Cape, again, provincial parliament recommendation that the word licensed should be changed to licensed again, as Honorable Chair, throughout this clause. The observation made, Honorable Chair, we align with it, Honorable Chair, on this one. Then clause 14.1, Gauteng provincial legislature, they're making a recommendation that the review of the provisions to require the use of audited annual financial statement where they are available. And in their current form, these provisions could be useful for a startup or regulated entity. And here, Honorable Chairman, the regulator will provide a framework of what and how information should then be provided. And this guidance will form part of the regulations as well, Honorable Chairman. Because 14.3, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, they are making us to be aware that consideration should be taken of the fact that an independent review of the information used will attract direct and indirect costs, whereas audited annual financial statement will already have been independently reviewed. Here again, Honorable Chair, saying the regulator will then provide the framework on how information should then be provided to its Honorable Chair. And this will also be embedded within the regulations. Then clause 15 is Gauteng Provincial Legislature. They're making a recommendation that clarification of whether complaints about uncompetitive fares pricing will be competence of the Competition Commission or the Transport Economic Regulator. Here, Honorable Chair, our response is that upon receiving of the complaint, the regulator will refer the complaint to another regulatory authority with the jurisdiction over the matter of investigation. Like when we look at clause 17.1b, the clause we have of the view that it should remain as it seems. We also have indicated that the regulator will then have a memorandum of agreement with other regulatory authorities on areas where they've got a concurrent jurisdiction around the chair. Then clause 15.1a, the recommendations that the review of provision to make the intention behind it more explicit, taking into account the provision of section 4.1. Here again, one of the chair is saying that the regulator will then upon receiving the complaint, the regulator will then refer the complaint to another regulatory entity again once again. Then clause 15.1d, the recommendation is that a tightening of this provision concerning the comparability of access terms given to associated entities to those given to another entity, so that the provision is not read as potential requiring a regulated entity to compromise its operations, competitiveness, or growth plans. Here, Honorable Chair, the comment is noted that the bill's intention is to ensure that there is fair competition within a respective market, and there is no proposed amendment made on this clause, Honorable Chair. Clause 16.1a, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, a recommendation, the amendment recommendation that review of this provision so that complaints that fall outside the ambit of the Act are complete non-reference. Here we Honorable Chair, we will review that we cannot declare all complaints outside the ambit of this Act as complete non-reference, because it is the duty of all regulatory authorities to work together and assist each other in performing their mandates. Also, the public interest and assistance to resolve complainants issues is important by considering the plight of the users when it comes to resources and information. I will take you through comment which is made by Western Cape Provincial Government. This one, Honorable Chair, is to change the word to substitute the word site and to make reference to website. We agree with the observation, Honorable Chair, on this one. And again, clause 29.4, which is made by KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Legislature, where the currently the clause makes reference to regulators' operational rules.
Therefore, they are making a recommendation that we delete the term operational rules and make it to be regulators or functions, so that it can align with clause 30.10a and also clause 38, which deals with the functions of the regulator. So within the bill, the term operational rules is not defined by however, we do have the regulatory's functions there. Therefore, on this honorable chair, we are in agreement with the observation, which is the main. And on clause 3010C, Western Cape Provincial Parliament, on this one, they're making a recommendation. It is recommended that the defined term Public Finance Management Act be used consistently throughout the bid. We are in agreement with the observation of this one, honorable chair. And clause 36, Gauteng Provincial Legislature, it is not clear whether the engineering is included in terms of transportation industry. On this one, honorable chair, we are in agreement with the observation to say engineering qualification has been excluded to form part of the qualifications which are embedded in this clause 36. So therefore, we propose and accept the recommendation which is remains for our chair. Then on clause 38G, read together with clause 43.2B, a recommendation made by Gauteng provincial legislatures that stipulation of which act between the Economic Regulation of Transport Act and the Competition Act will prevail on matters relating to market inquiries. On this one, honorable chair, we have indicated earlier on to say in areas where there's concurrence of jurisdiction, there will be a memorandum of agreement which is stipulated under clause 43. When we make reference to clause 43.1 of the ERGB, it then stipulates that the regulator must negotiate and conclude an agreement with the Competition Commission to coordinate and harmonize the exercise of jurisdiction over competition matters and to ensure consistent application of the principles of this act. And it further stipulates again with the other regulatory authorities as you read through the entire clause 43 on our chair. Then I'll then take you through clause 48I, where Western Cape Provincial Government is Parliament is making a recommendation to delete the comma that appears after the word act. We are in agreement with the observation here, honorable chair. Then I'll then go through to clause 51. It's again Western Cape Provincial Parliament. They've made a recommendation to the inclusion of this provision must be landed as a provision that appears for recent of the consequences of overregulation on businesses and the state administration. On this one, honorable chair, we're saying there isn't any proposed amendment that has been made here. In implementing the bill, the regulator must ensure that it fulfills the obligation in a manner stipulated within clause 3 of the bill, honorable chair. Then again, clause 64.2 is a comment which has been made by KwaZulu-Natal provincial legislature. Clause 54.2 is making reference to subsection 2, honorable chair. The correct one should be, you must make reference to clause 1, to subsection 1, honorable chair. On this one, again, we are in agreement with the observations made, honorable chair. Then clause 65, Western Cape Provincial Parliament, they are considering changing the five days to 7 days. We are in agreement with this one, honorable chair. Again, Gauteng provincial legislature under clause 38G, read together with clause 43.2B. They are making a recommendation that we change the time frame, which is stipulating to five working days to 7 working days, with seven business days on the project, which we are in agreement with. On clause 69, Western Cape Provincial Government, a recommendation that it is recommended that the word will be changed to is. It currently reads within. So we agree with the observation, honorable chair, of this one.
And again, under Schedule 1, KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Legislature, they are making a recommendation that there is an error in Schedule 1 to the bill, which deals with consequential amendments to various legislation. Section 1.2 of the Schedule 1 to the bill provides for the repeal of Sections 229 to 245, notwithstanding that the Sections 1.3, 4A, and 4B of the Schedule 1 continue to provide for appeals and complaints to be lodged in a manner directed under Section 33. So, Honorable Chair, on this one, we also agree with the observation to see that the clauses are still making reference to the clauses which are being repealed here, Honorable Chair. So I think that there's a need for it to be corrected likewise. And a comment again under Schedule 1, which has been made by Western Cape Provincial Government, they are making a recommendation that we delete the references to hereby throughout the schedule. And we then are in agreement with the observation. This then has to be considered and effective on our vote. Then Western Cape Provincial Parliament, they are proposing that to improve the text, it is recommended that the legislative drafter review the bill using general accepted Commonwealth legislative drafting practices, as well as and list the support of the language practitioner familiar with this practice. Honorable Chair, this one also we are in agreement with that proposal which has been made. And I think Honorable Chair, I came to the conclusion of the responses, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chikame, for the presentation. In relation to the mandates by our provinces, in relation to various clauses that they have made their concrete proposals in relation to the to the bill as received from the National Assembly. I needed to get guidance because as you have correctly pointed out, you had categorized the responses in terms of three areas. There is the golden one, then there's the green one, and then there's a response, and then there is the white one. And in terms of those areas, the green one are areas that there is total agreement in relation to the proposals that were made by provinces in relation to those respective clauses. Then you do not agree in relation to the golden one. And then the white one, we're just giving clarity in relation to a referral to those proposals that we made in relation to where they are covered in the main body of the bill. So I needed to check with the members whether they understood clearly how you have categorized them. I want to go back to the discussion that we have had earlier on, because Honorable Mushodi suggested that we give over the over to the parliamentary liaison officer. She said something about the mandate. I just needed to give them. Can you just explain what you were referring to, Honorable Mushodi?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, I was saying the communication between me and my legal officer and the province is that we are going to get the final mandate and are going to vote in favor of that the final mandate.
Oh, wow.
I was saying if maybe also she can clarify the matter further if she was here in the platform. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right, I think it's fine because I think key to the concerns we raised was the ability of the province to probably process inputs that they receive in relation to the advertisement that they made, inviting public comments in relation to the advert. Which remain outstanding, which obviously I think the advice is that the province will have to process those comments, which will then definitely be factored in as we finalize the provincial mandate, because at this point in time it's still negotiation. You're still dealing with negotiating mandate in terms of the Mandating Procedure Act. So I just thought I think that should be the entry point. Probably your interaction between the speaker and the provincial chairperson of the portfolio committee, if they can get an opportunity to process those comments that they received from the public, such that they are able also to then inform the provincial mandate in its interaction with the select committee. So that should be the direction that we take to say continue impressing upon them the legal conundrum that they are creating for our legislative process, particularly given the fact that we are operating within the Mandating Procedure Act. Having said that, members, I want to put the clauses as outlined by Mr. Chikambi, whether they agree with the because it's quite clear the report is that those that are there are clauses that they do not agree with, and they outline reasons. There are clauses where they are of the view that more they needed to give more clarification and elaboration to give context to proposals made by provinces in relation to those clauses, but also more than that, then agreement. Where they are, where which is marked in green. I wanted to put that to members in relation to those clauses, whether Committee Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. I was gonna suggest that Chairperson maybe you may wish, you know, to follow the same processes that we did with the other two bills, whereby either the department or the legal advisor, then at least, I mean, they will, you know, flag, you know, the fee list if they finalize, so that at least we adopt.
Yes. Yeah, let's do that.
Yes,
sir.
Sorry, Chair, I try my level best to communicate. I communicate with the provinces. There's not any input that they're receiving. So that means even if they publish that bill, there's no any input in the review from anybody. I don't know what they're doing, but I try at my level best to get any information.
Yeah. No, I think it's fine. Let's leave that to the national chairperson. At least we are still in the process of negotiating. Let's table the C list. Can you help us with that, committee secretary?
Chairperson, I think the department and the legal advisor then can be of assistance in this one.
Can you help us with the department?
Chair, sorry, sorry to interject. Just going to try and share the screen, Chair, but I had indicated to the committee secretary that the C list is really a rudimentary draft in the sense that the state law advisor has not given input on the C list. So I'm more than happy to flight it if I can just get that right. Just give me a moment, please, Chairperson, to try and see if I can just share.
I would need to, can you help us with that, Honorable Khai?
Chair,
yes, I needed to get guidance. I think you can help us in this regard. I also see the hand of Raksha Harisharan. There's something that was raised around the rudimentary nature of the C list. What will be your appreciation thereof? I just needed guidance from you before I give over to Raksha Harisharan.
Okay. So all I'm saying to the committee is that I had drafted the A list, and I had circulated it to the department and to the state law advisor. The department has come back with their input, which I've incorporated into this A-list that I've now, I'm sorry, C-list that I've now flighted. I do not have the input from the state law advisor in terms of the C-list. So I'm just alerting the committee that there will be amendments to this C-list. That's simply what I'm saying.
All right, no, thanks. I see the hand of Raksha Harisharan. Can we respond to that hand? Harisharan? Okay. No, let's proceed then, because I see there's no. There's no word that is coming there. Honorable Khai, the floor is yours.
Yeah, Chair, if the legal advisor says that there might be amendments that will be suggested by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, I think we will be doing a double work, because as soon as we adopt the C list, it must then be sent to the provinces to prepare for the final mandates. So we might as well postpone this part and wait for the input. But there should be, it's also disappointing on the part of the Office of the Chief, because they know that we're dealing with the legislative process here. That cannot wait for them. As soon as they receive this, a draft C list, they need to respond on time, because we have a legislative program that we are dealing with here. So I think I think there should be a time frame that is given to them so that next week Tuesday we are able to vote on the C list with having the input also being part of the C list if they will be proposing any input. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Khai, on that guidance. There is a hand that continues to be raised. Raksha Haricharan. Can you lower that hand, please?
Chairperson.
Yes.
Is the state law advice.
But the state law advisor, can she take the platform? Because now I've been inviting her to take the platform, but she has not been responding. State law advisor, can you help us? It looks like she has a challenge with the audio. Committee Secretary, can you try to establish with her what could be the problem before we finally take the
okay, Chair.
The decision? Yes. But I fully share the same views with Honorable Khai. What we'll just need probably from the committee secretary side is the impact of this now on our legislative program, on the committee program. That would mean we'll have to again have an extra day. What's your view in relation to postponing it to Wednesday, next week's Wednesday's meeting?
Chairperson,
but yes,
postponing it to the next Wednesday meeting is going to have an impact on our program.
But we are meeting on Friday. We are meeting on Friday. Can we try to squeeze it in there on Friday?
Just hold on for me, Chairperson. She's calling me, the state law advisor. Maybe
okay.
I can put you on the speaker.
All right.
Chairperson?
Yes, you're on the platform.
The state law advisor, she's struggling with connectivity, but she's on the line now. I'm not sure whether this we can allow her to speak on the phone.
Yes, yeah, she can take the platform.
You can take the platform.
Good day, Chairperson. I do apologize. I had some problems connect to the meeting. Chairperson, just to mention with regards to the draft fee list, we've just received that document yesterday from the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, and we haven't as yet had an opportunity to discuss the draft fee list with the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and the department regarding their input. If you may please be afforded some time to just liaise with the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and the Department regarding the draft fee list, Chairperson, just to consult regarding the draft fee list. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, State Law Advisor, for that clarity. Honourable members, I think it only. Can you give us some timelines, Ms. Rashka?
Chair, Chairperson, we would like to leave the parliamentary legal advisor and as soon as possible regarding that fee list.
Okay. We have a meeting on Friday. We wanted to check us whether will you be ready by Friday?
Chairperson, if you may just please be afforded a little bit more time to just consult the department and the parliamentary legal advisor. We would appreciate that.
Okay. Now then, let's agree that until next week Wednesday, let's do that. I hope that is reasonable enough.
Okay, we'll try.
We need to consult with the department and the CNA.
Input to that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Rashka. Honourable members, that's the state of affairs as we speak now. Can you then agree that we on this issue, we will then wait for the state law advisor to liaise with the parliamentary liaison officer and also the department so that at least the C list that we'll be receiving would have had the benefit of the interface between the state office of the state law advisor and also our parliamentary legal officer and the department, and that will make our work much more easier. Ms. Gungeon, your hand is up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just require clarity regarding the legal opinion on public participation that the committee had requested in light of what it had transpired. And I just want to understand, so in light of the fact that my understanding is that this issue is now going to be sorted out, in terms of the provincial issue, does the committee still then, it will be moot as far as I understand it. So do you still want a legal opinion on public participation? Because hopefully it will sort itself out.
Definitely we still need that. I think as Honorable Kha indicated, that will guide us even for future references.
Okay, so then I'll proceed on the premise that there's been no compliance in that regard then, in terms of when I address the legal question. Okay, Chair.
I think that is quite important. We want to get a sense because the advert was out. What we are not sure as to whether, because the advert will be inviting public to make comments. So I think the interaction between the national chair and also the speaker might help us in terms of pushing the province to process those comments as part and parcel of mandating procedure, and that can even help us. I think what is quite critical is a broad legal approach in terms of what is the implication in terms of the law in relation to the failure on the committee to process comments, to give us a negotiating mandate, which definitely in the absence of a negotiating mandate, in the absence of processing public comments from the comments received, what is the state in relation to that. I hope I'm clear enough.
Yes, Chief. I will proceed on that basis. Thank you.
Then let's park the ERT now, and then allow the process to unfold. The opinion, the national chairperson, and also Ms. Rashka, the Office of the State Law Advisor, so that next week Wednesday, there is clarity of that in terms of where we are around the progress. Thank you, honorable members. Let's yes, Committee Secretary.
Then, in terms of our records, it means the continuation of this process. It's a continuation. So next week, that meeting that was supposed to deal with the final mandate on this bill, then it won't take place, then it means it will be finalizing this one. Then we have to we need to revise our program, then at least to push the meeting on the final Monday to the following week.
That will be the approach.
Okay.
But with regard to the other two bills, we are on course.
Yes, those two bills, we are on
problem, course. The problem is the ERT.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Let's then probably then agree that we, on these three bills, we have reached the end of the road. As far as today's meeting is concerned, the idea is to then allow our guest to be excused from the meeting, and then proceed with the other internal issues. Let me take this opportunity to express my word of gratitude to the department that was represented by the various speakers that presented on their behalf, and also our legal advisors, Ms. Tumela Lengema, because we really appreciate the work that they have put in relation to these three bills. I think obviously the only outstanding one is the ERT, but the rest, our gratitude to you until we meet next week, Wednesday. Thank you. Let's then deal with internal matters.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate Tungeba.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Simulani.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Shilambi. Before we deal with the minutes, we also have a matter from the Eastern Cape Legislature, the Speaker. The speaker has written us a letter that clearly says to us that the bills that we are referring to them, that the other three are creating a bit of a conundrum to her. We received a letter from the speaker in relation to the processing of bills that were recently referred to the Eastern Cape Legislature. I think it's a matter that is also a bit of concern to us, and I think it's important that we just get guidance. The understanding our interaction with the procedural advice is that this is for the third time that the speaker is requesting an extension. On the last two occasions, it was granted, and then this last one is worse because now it takes us beyond our term. So we wanted to just get guidance from members in terms of how do we process that, because the reality of the matter is that the national chair has given the speaker extension on two occasions, but now we have received the third one now. Is there anyone from the Eastern Cape Legislature Portfolio Committee here? I think they can help us. Is there anyone from the Eastern Cape Legislature Chairperson? Another one,
I see the PLO is here, Chair. But I think the challenge these matters are matters that should be addressed in the speaker's forum, where the chair of the NCOP and the speaker, as well as speakers of provinces, because today it's one, it's the Eastern Cape legislature. Last time, you remember, it was the Western Cape. We had to give them a week. So this is going to always happen, because also the challenges with the executive when they submit bills very late, and quite a number of bills towards the end of the term. It's always the case. Until this is discussed by the speakers forum and engage the executive, particularly the office of the government, leader of government business, seriously. I know it has been discussed, but I think this time around, we should have a stop on this, because it's really putting pressure on provinces. It first put pressure on us as a select committee members. For example, we're supposed to be dealing with one bill at a time, but now we're dealing with three bills. And we might not do justice on these three bills, because they all come at once, especially the Department of Transport. I don't know how many bills we've been receiving from the Department of Transport as to why we're only receiving them in 2023, when we're not getting anything in previous years, when we started in 2019. So my view is that perhaps we need to make that recommendation even in our report to the House on these bills, maybe for the seventh term, maybe before the seventh term, that is, these matters must be addressed upfront. Because now there's a bill that, I think two bills that were brought by the Department of Transport.
Is the Transport Appeal Tribunal, the Marine Commission Bill, and the Railway Safety Bill.
Yes. Now the province has not even given us the date to even to brief the province, so that at least then they can process these matters in terms of adverts and their own public hearings. So, I for me, that's the only way of addressing it is maybe writing back to the chairperson. This matter should be discussed at that level, because as a committee, there's nothing we can do if there's this request. It's just that I'm also run out of words to explain what is it that we can do, because I'm indicating that yesterday it was the Western Cape, today it's Eastern Cape, next time it will be another province. And also we have conflicts that we deal with. We always out of those time frames in terms of, I think, the 6 week or 8 week cycle. Don't even know why we had that provision in the law when we seldom meet that particular cycle in terms of processing the legislation. That's all I can say, Chair. Unfortunately, I don't have a solution.
Thanks. Is the Advocate Shamara here? Because I see the letter from the speaker says both the mandate the request is that the dates for the processing of the negotiating and final mandates of these bills be deferred beyond April 2024, effectively meaning that it can only be beyond beyond our the sixth administration term.
Chair, if I may?
Yes, Shamara.
Chair, my concern is that This is not the first request that was made by the Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature for an extension. We had considered an original application by the chairperson of that committee in February. The extension was granted. The second request came at the end of September, where the chairperson of the committee had requested a further extension, stating that the period within which the public hearings would be finalized would be around February 2024, which was then again agreed to by the chairperson after consultation with yourself. The problem now is that obviously she is now requesting a third extension to April next year, which will not be possible. Looking at the draft framework for next year, which will only be presented to members on the 28th, we are not going to be able to finalize this bill, considering that the committee has several other bills before it. My fear is that if a further extension is granted, this bill will not see the time of day, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, can we agree probably that we write back to the national chair to say, in view of the extensions that we're given, the committee is a bit reluctant to do that, and then allow the speaker. Let's see how the legislature can go as far as the briefing. That would mean that the parliamentary liaison officers, the committee secretary, will have to liaise also very closely with the particular committee secretary that side, just to see how far they can go. It will be a sad day when all other provinces have done their provincial briefing. They have their mandate, negotiating mandates and final mandate, but only Eastern Cape is suspending, which then will then push us again to the same conundrum that we face in relation to the ERT. I think that is the posture that we'll take. Let's allow them, the national chairperson, to interact with the speaker to say the committee is reluctant to allow further extension. But more than that, then we also encourage the chairperson to have a one-on-one with the speaker, but at a much more a principal level and a broader approach level. Allow the matter to be raised at the speaker's forum so that at least there is a much more convergence in terms of how we create synergy between the work that the legislature is doing and the work that the executive is doing, so that we do not find ourselves in this conundrum. And I think in relation to the executive, the national chair, together with the leader of government business, will come in handy in terms of rescuing our legislative process. Thank you, honorable members. On this note, let them deal with the minutes of the last minute of the last meeting. Enrico? Honorable members, the minutes that we'll be dealing with today is the one of the meeting that was held on the 15th of November, where we received a briefing by the Department of Transport on Railway Safety Bill. Those are the attendees from the State Committee members. And we also had a guest from the department, was led by DM, and then that's the parliamentary staff. I must say also we had the benefit of provincial legislature's presence when we received this briefing, which makes things much more easier for us. That's how the proceedings unfolded, led by the opening remarks by the minister, Mr. Chikunga, Minister of Transport, and then the DDG in the form of Mr. M. Madia, then delivered the presentation to cover those areas from 1 up to 12. And then those are the comments and observations that were made by members. Questions and responses that were given in relation to what members posed. And then we also then adopted the minutes of the 8th of November, and it was duly adopted. Any correction, honorable members?
Honorable Chairperson?
Yes, Mamarakhane?
Yes, I see on the attendees the name of, there was an honorable Rebecca Siona from Limpopo. But now I don't see her name.
Okay. Honorable Mamarakhane. Let's correct that, committee secretary. Let's correct that. Oh, that's the name. Siona Mamarakhane. The name is there. We had Siona from Limpopo. We also had Dube from We also, yeah, those were the representatives that we had. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. With that, members, can we get a move for the adoption of the minutes, the true reflection of what transpired?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I do move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Mamarakhane, can you get a second?
Chairperson, there's a mistake on the.
Therefore, the minutes are duly adopted.
Chairperson, I tried to intervene. I don't know why.
Oh, yes, Honorable Dango.
There was a mistake on the last page where it says attendance. It's got me down as Democratic Alliance.
Oh, let's correct that. Let's correct that, the members. And then with those corrections, Mamarakhane moved, and then Honorable Khai seconded the move to adopt the minutes. Therefore, the minutes are duly adopted. And then I guess that was the last item on the agenda, Honorable Members. Committee Secretary, was that the last item?
Yes, Chairperson.
Honorable
okay, Dow, thank you. Then allow me on behalf of Honorable Khai.
No, I'm seeing the Honorable Dango is crossing the floor.
Hey, the other veteran
can't the cross the floor.
Don't cross the floor. Thank you, Honorable Members. Let me take this opportunity to indeed express a word of gratitude to all of you, including the department, the parliamentary staff, the legal advisor, the state law advisor, and our esteemed honorable members of this late committee for making this meeting a success. And therefore, the meeting is duly adjourned. And let's meet again on Friday. Thank you, honorable members.
Have a wonderful Friday, afternoon.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, Friday. Friday is a sports day.
Yes.